Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey After Buzzers, welcome back to another After Show for Legacies. Today we're going to be talking about the season one mid-season finale, Death Keeps Knocking on My Door. We'll be discussing Roth's girlfriend's return, MG's walk on the dark side, and the necromancer, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now let the buzz begin.
And it's not really a hype song, but I love it so much, and I was so excited that they used this in like one of the first scenes. And it's so like, it's such an appropriate one for the mood of this episode, I feel like, because this got like emotional.
Yeah,
it's got really emotional. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the mid-season finale of Legacies. We're halfway there, you guys. I'm really excited to talk about this episode. Before we do, I am joined by one lovely co-panelist tonight.
Hi guys, I'm Alexis. Happy to be back.
Yeah.
Talking Legacies.
Yes, and I am Taylor. Hopefully Sam will be back at the beginning of the next half of the season. We miss her very dearly, but we're going to keep chugging along. We're going to talk about this. So what were your overall thoughts on this episode?
Very emotional. Okay, Rolf 1 is very emotional, but I loved all the Vampire Diaries and originals, like, references. So, for one, they reference Klaus, who's Hope's dad, who, that's the reason why she's even the necromancer, am I saying it right?
Necromancer.
Yeah, necromancer. So, that's the reason why she's even, like, trying to be in cahoots or whatever with him, is, you know, to really figure out, is her dad, you know, happy? Did he really pass away with peace in his heart? And all these good things. So that was the first reference that I was like, oh my gosh. And then the second reference that I really liked was when Cassie, Raphael, girlfriend that passed away, the witch that came to her was a Bennet witch. As you guys know, that's from The Vampire Diary. So it was a lot like a good, I liked that they had a lot of good references from, you know, The Vampire Diaries in the original. So all in all, it was a good episode.
Yeah, I liked certain parts, but I felt like it was maybe a little uneven for me. Like, I know the tone was kind of odd, I thought, because they were like making fun of the necromancer for a lot of it, and then also we got like really deep and dark at some points, which is like, I don't know, it just felt a little bit like they didn't really pick a like genre for this for this episode. But I agree with you. I liked the sort of history we got on a lot of the characters, and I mean, we got the fight between Hope and Alaric, which I think was like a long time coming. So I'm glad we kind of like, as heartbreaking as it was, kind of got to see that come to fruition, because I think that it was bound to happen.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, I really miss the twins.
I know. It's so weird that in this episode, they have the day where they write letters to loved ones that passed away. You would think after the twins in the last episode interacted with their mom that they would use this opportunity for, I don't know, it was just weird that they weren't there. They could have wrote a letter to their mom. It's like they weren't mentioned at all in this episode.
It was really strange because I feel like they're such a big part of what kind of makes the show's chemistry work. And so I was pretty bummed that we didn't see them, especially in this sort of like, like you said, this is like a perfect episode for them to kind of explore, you know, more of that. But you know, we got a lot of character development for other characters that, you know, aren't featured as heavily. Like, we got more of Caleb in this episode and more of Dorian, which is great. But let's jump right in. Let's talk about Raphael, because I was shocked to see Cassie back. Like, I was not expecting that at all. Did you have any inclination that was going to happen?
No. And it was weird, out of all the people that he could have brought back to be his nemesis or help him with his big grand plan, was Cassie, Raphael. Like, that was just the weirdest person. So it was just, it didn't make sense to me. Like, he could have brought back anyone, but it was Cassie, Raphael's ex. And then I liked what we got to know a little bit more about her and Raphael. And we find out that actually, you know, she's like, you know, you did kill me. She got him to admit, like, you know, it was your fault. It was raining. The roads were slippery, but all in all, it was your fault. So yeah, I like that they brought her back. It was just weird that it was her out of all the people they could have brought back.
You mean, you know? Like, of all the people, like, instead of bringing back someone for Raphael's purposes, like, yeah. Bringing it back. Yeah, I agree. But I think, in terms of, like, if he's going to pick someone and it's going to be Raphael, I think Cassie's a smart pick, just mm-hmm. because, like you said, there is so much extra sort of baggage there and extra layers that it's, like, more than just he's mourning her loss. Like, it's much more complicated than that, we found out. And I didn't really expect that to have, like, been the case. Like, because we know that something happened, like, there was a car accident. Mm. But I feel like the show's just, like, more complexity to, like, Raphael's character. Yeah. Because I feel like, seen him be pretty sweet, like, somewhat harmless-ish, like, up until this point. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, just very surprised that that was sort of the backstory. Do you like that choice, like, for his character?
I mean, I guess it explains a lot. She did say, you know, she mentioned that he did used to get sometimes, she never thought he would put his hands on her, but that he would get angry sometimes. So I guess it kind of makes sense. But honestly, you know, thinking back to the first couple of episodes when we found out that he lost his girlfriend, I never would have thought that that was, like, the backstory. Like, mm-hmm. I thought, like, you know, got into a car accident, she passed away, and then we find out there's more to it. So, I mean, it gives his character, it kind of explains a lot. It shows that all that he had already been dealing with, werewolf tendencies, before he even turned into, like, he already been dealing with the anger that comes with it. So I guess I see what they were going with it a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely agree. And I think you're right, there are definitely hints of it. Mm-hmm. But just getting that explanation, I was like, oh, that's, like, sort of surprising a little bit. And then we did get to actually meet Cassie, which was kind of cool because we've heard her referenced a lot, but never got to, like, see any real flashbacks of her. Of course, she was, you know, under mind control, and it was more complex than that. But we did get to see her personality a little bit. What did you just, like, think of her character?
I liked her character. I feel like she was meant to bring Raphael kind of some peace, in a sense, and maybe get her peace, you know? Which is so weird that I just think it's weird that they brought her back, but I liked her character. I honestly, I was not expecting her to be a part of his plan, like, to get the, I was not expecting that at all. I thought maybe it was just a situation where, honestly, I don't know why she was back, but, like, her being the person that was under mind control and took the knife, like, that kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah, I did like her character too, because I think that she was very, like, I can see her being good for Raphael, like, if, you know, things obviously would have, like, gone differently, because she's very, like, wants him to be a better person and is, like, no bullshit in a way, which I thought was, like, it was nice. And I kind of understand why he gravitates toward the people he does, like, because she reminds us, you know, of a lot of the characters. Like, she reminded me of Hope a little bit and a little bit of Josie. And so I think it makes sense, like... And I think he's surrounding himself with good people, like, after that, which is nice to see that he's, like, sort of on the right path. And so through this, we kind of get Raphael getting closer to Alaric, too, which was pretty nice, and seeing him be, like, a bit of a father figure to him. Mm-hmm. And that's a relationship we hadn't seen a whole lot of before this. Did you enjoy those scenes as well?
Yeah, because I feel like with Landon gone, I mean, he is an alpha, but I feel like he still hasn't bonded with... And, I mean, him and Hope, we see some bonding. Him and Josie kind of bonded, but then, like, kind of fell off. So I like that he's looking to Alaric for guidance and help, because I feel like he needs it. Like, Landon is all he's known, and then now Landon's gone, and he doesn't really have anyone, I feel, to just guide him and be someone he can talk to and help him out with his anger that comes with being a werewolf and all these things he's trying to just cope with. This is, like, a big change for him. So I do like that we are seeing that there's going to be, like, some kind of bond. It seems like Alaric is, like, a father figure to a lot of the kids in the school. Like, Hope doesn't want to believe it, but he's kind of a father figure to her, too. So I really like that. I think Landon needs that.
I agree. And the fact that, just knowing his backstory, like, the fact that he was in foster care his whole life, like, he, I don't think, has had a lot of that sort of, like, parental type guidance. Yeah. And so it's really nice to see him sort of getting that kind of love that I think he's always kind of wanted and can, you know, make him better. Before we move on to our next sort of subplot, there's some news we want to share with you guys about AfterBuzz itself.
Yes. So, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we love when you guys engage with us.
Yeah.
You guys are so passionate.
Yes.
And we appreciate that. Let's go on and talk a little bit about Caleb and MG. I feel like their relationship is such an interesting, like, almost frenemy relationship in a way. And so towards the beginning, we get the scene where they're like lifting weights and Caleb is picking on him, you know, kind of like he always does. And we'll talk a little bit, well, we'll talk a lot about the Hope like situation later and kind of what drives him to make the decision that he decides to ultimately make. Mm-hmm. But he ends up going to Caleb saying that he wants to become stronger. And he's like, listen, I'll do whatever it takes, even if it means drinking human blood. Were you surprised by that decision of his?
Yes and no. I was surprised because he was so all about following the rules, but then I think he realized that he's missing out, that he's not as strong as Caleb. And I love MG's character, but I feel like in a sense he's kind of weak-minded a little bit. Mm. So I'm not that surprised. I mean, Caleb was lifting that thing up with no, he could do it. So I think, yeah, it's like a yes and a no for me.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't too shocked that he's like, okay, I want to do it. I want to drink human blood.
Yeah, but we definitely saw kind of a darker side of him come out because, like you said, he is sort of unassuming and, like, he's been very sweet. And, I mean, last week with Lizzie, we saw this, like, very gentle and, like, loving person. But he almost kills a guy, and it takes Dorian stepping in to stop him. I thought that was pretty shocking, at least when I was watching it.
And it's funny because we were trying to figure out when Alara called Dorian, like, where he was, and he was like, you know, this is my only day off. And for anybody that has watched the originals or the Vampire Diaries, he references the library. You know, I didn't know Stefan, who was in the Vampire Diaries, he killed Dorian's parents, which was really interesting.
Yeah, his mother and his sister, I think he said.
So that was very interesting. And then also, if you guys caught the snatch, eat, and erase that Caleb was telling MG. Caleb was telling MG was Damon's technique from the originals. From the Vampire Diaries. I'm like so tongue-twisted on everything I'm saying. That was his technique from the Vampire Diaries. So that was cool that they referenced that. But I was not shocked that he started drinking that human blood and he could not stop because he's not used to it. So his craving was like, you know, I was not shocked at all.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's popular in, like, a lot of, vampire-based literature. It's like, once you start, you really can't stop. And so, thank God that Dorian was there to step in. And though it's his day off, he was like, you know what? Fine. I'm just gonna have to deal with these, like, crazy kids today, too. But I thought that was, like, really interesting to just, like, see Dorian's character kind of, like, expand upon.
Because
it's like, wow, that's, like, a lot of complications to be there and be at this place that kind of is honoring the person that killed your family.
And where did he come from? He came kind of quick to, like, they were in Vegas, right? Where were they? Did they leave? I feel like maybe I'm thinking of something else. I feel like I thought he mentioned Vegas, but maybe it had nothing to do with where they were. But where did Dorian come from? How did he know that there was, like, that he just popped up out of nowhere?
I think that he saw them, like, kind of planning a little something, and he was like, ooh, this is trouble, and kind of maybe kept an eye on them. I think he's very much, like, observant when it comes to that and knows what, like, scheming children look like, because he was there very fast. And so he kind of explains what a ripper sort of is, which is a vampire that feeds until nothing is left and is just sort of like a vampire, but, like, to the extreme, like, a really kind of dangerous kind of them. And he tells Caleb, and he's like, listen, MG is so susceptible to being one of these, which is terrifying if you kind of think about it.
Yeah, I would never think him out of all people. I would think Caleb more than him, but I guess plot twist.
Yeah, and he talks about kind of the reasons why, like, he has ADHD, which mm-hmm. I think is, like, a really interesting sort of element to add into mm-hmm. it. And you're right, it's very unassuming, but it does kind of make sense if you, I think, take a second, like, think about it.
Yeah.
But we will see what happens there. I'm excited to see that plot line kind of keep going.
I think it is.
I feel like his characterization and just his whole journey is, like, really amping up. Yeah. Like, okay, let's talk about the sort of meat of this whole episode, which was Hope and the Necromancer. So just a little bit of background, because we'll mention it later, but this day is Remembrance Day. So anyone who writes to anyone, like, is free to write to their lost mm-hmm. loved ones and kind of scattered the letters throughout the cemetery, which I think is, like, a really beautiful holiday, actually.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And so basically, everyone's kind of doing that except for Hope, because she doesn't really see the point, and she kind of just doesn't want to think about death, which, very in character for her. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's very much a person that kind of likes to just avoid and push the feelings away. So she kind of, like, puts all of her energy into this necromancer situation. And so the necromancer sort of targets her and asks her to bring him the knife. Why do you think that he, like, specifically asked her? I mean, she was obviously there, but I think there was maybe probably a deeper reason as well.
I feel like, in a sense, he kind of knew that she is, he knows what she is. I mean, she knows what he is. So I feel like he knew, like, he said he knew deep down that she, I feel like she had an ulterior motive, but she did it anyway. She wants to know about her father.
Yeah.
Is how is he doing? Is he okay? Is, you know, she wants to know these things. So I feel like him targeting her, out of everyone he could have targeted, she was the perfect target. And she, I mean, he knew what he was doing, and he said it, you know, you're saying that you're doing this for this reason, but you have an ulterior motive and you want to know, how's your father? Did he die in peace, like everyone, with love in his heart, like everyone told you? So I feel like he targeted her for a reason. He could have targeted Alar. He could have targeted anyone, but he went after her for a reason.
And I think that's just her personality. Yeah. And I think you can kind of see that. Like, mm-hmm. the moment you meet her, it's like, she's the person that's going to stop at nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not going to listen to anyone who, you know, tries to discourage her, even yeah. though Alaric definitely tried to discourage her throughout this whole episode. But yeah, she's pretty much just hits the ground running right away with that. She goes and tries to sort of find him in the history books, because that's a big thing. Like, they can't find him in mm-hmm. any of these books. And I liked that we got sort of that answer that's been kind of, like, bubbling throughout this whole first half of the season, because mm-hmm. we're like, where are these creatures coming from? Like, why does no one know who they are? Like, yeah. where they're coming from? And so the fact that they've all been erased and reduced to, like, one sentence or, like, mythology, I thought was, like, a really cool kind of answer to that. What did you kind of think about that?
I think it was cool, and his whole explanation on everything was just like, okay, now it makes sense. Because at first I was like, okay, what? Why do we have all these different, you know, demons or whatever you want to call them? And it makes sense now. It makes a lot of sense the way he explained it to us in the yeah. show. Yeah.
So basically what he says before we find out even deeper stuff, just sort of when he's introducing the idea and, like, why he's there and things, mm-hmm. he says that they have to return the knife to the Malivor so that they can be free and away from the darkness. Mm-hmm. And Hope shows him the symbol that we've seen a couple times on different, like, I think, necklaces.
Didn't Landon have it on something, I believe?
Yeah, yeah, we've seen a lot, like, the sort of, like, inverted type triangle yeah. type things, and we finally get an answer to what that kind of means too. And it basically is permanent death, meaning that no one remembers you or celebrates you or mourns you, which, if you think about it, that is really, like, the saddest thing.
Very sad.
But I'm anxious to see kind of how it ties into everything else, because I'm just like, okay, so Landon has on there, but why? How did it get there? You know what I mean? I think it's going to be, like, mind-blowing when it all kind of comes together. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's mind-blowing even thinking about it in the way they're putting the storyline together with everything.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing a cool job of sort of putting the pieces mm-hmm. together. I think it's all felt very cohesive and, like, made sense.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes in, like, different supernatural shows, they just will, like, throw stuff in there. It's like, that That's interesting. But this is cool because it's very much like the threads are all starting to
come together,
weave together very nicely. So the necromancer doesn't remember who killed him, but Hope decides, hey, even if you don't necessarily remember, it's still probably embedded in your memory. And so let's try to access it, you know? Why not? Seems simple enough. So she needs a vampire to go with her. So she decides to hit up MG, which, I mean, as, you know, not great as it is, because now you've dragged another person into it, I thought it was sort of sweet that she did sort of reach out to someone else. And since they had that moment last week of looking for Josie, mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. What did you think about that?
I liked it. I thought it was cool, too. And I like how she used that. Avengers reference. I guess yes. They considered themselves that last episode. So I thought that was really cool. And she's like, he's like, you know, maybe you should use Caitlin. And she's like, no, like, it's you. So I like that she's getting help. And like I said, I like to see every week we see them working together more and more.
That's so true. Yeah,
it was good that she went to MG for sure.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
So they decide to do something called head diving, which is really cool, but also really scary.
It's creepy.
So what they basically have to do to get there is they have to join hands with the necromancer and look into their eyes so they can kind of be transported. And so Hope is transported to a restaurant in New Orleans that she used to go to all the time. I'm assuming you've seen that in other shows, probably.
Yeah, it's he referenced that he have had drinks with Klaus there, but we don't know how true that is. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I wonder how reliable of, like, a narrator he is.
No, I don't trust him.
I don't trust him either, no. Which is, like, I don't know. Some parts it's, like, great because it's... what you're saying is really scary, but another part is like, I just kind of want to know the truth so we know what we're up against. But yes, he does talk about her father, and he kind of exploits the fact that he knows that that's what she wants to hear, and that's kind of why she's doing this. And so they go to this really odd, I can't pronounce it very well, but it's like Macarbe, like whatever, the dead people party, essentially.
Yeah, dancing like how they would do in New Orleans.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Which was very cool visually to watch.
Yeah.
And I thought this whole episode had really kind of cool visuals.
Yeah. Like the long stairs that she was walking down. That was really cool.
I thought that was cool too. And so, yes, so she jumps into the coffin and kind of finds his subconscious. And while she's down there, he ditches her, which...
Of course.
We've just talked about how he's not a reliable narrator, nor is he a reliable creature whatsoever. So she is kind of taken out of it for a second and immediately tells MG, you've got to send me back. I'm going to solve this. That's a bit of a mistake, but not unexpected because it's Hope we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So this is when she kind of falls down the long staircase and she kind of admits the truth that she hadn't admitted sort of up until that point about, like you kind of said earlier, about how she does need to come to terms with her dad. Mm-hmm. And since this, even though the sacrifice was his choice, like she still just has an uneasy feeling. It's like worried. What did you think of that whole scene? I thought her acting was phenomenal.
She did a really good. Yeah, her acting was really good. She did a really good job. And I'm happy she eventually. He knew all. Like I said, he knew all along. And I don't know why she was surprised. I feel like I agree with you when she, you know, MG got her out of the head diving. I feel like she should have just stayed out of the head diving. But of course, that's not Hope. She's going to continue and finish. And I feel like he knew that she was not going to just give up.
No.
Oh, he knew. That's why he all along, he was right that he targeted her. He knew that he could do that and she's not going to give up. She's going to come back because she's going to finish what she started. And her acting was phenomenal. And I like how she finally, I think she needed to say it out loud to come to terms with the fact that she really needed to know how Klaus is, you know, did he really pass away with love in his heart? Like, is he peaceful? Is he alone? Like, she really needed to know those things. And I feel like she didn't come to terms with them in reality until she said it out loud. Sometimes that's what we have to do in real life. So
I think that's so true. And she kind of has to be pushed to her breaking point to ever be able to do that because she is so guarded and wants to try to be so strong all the time. And so it takes, like, the actual extremes to get her to sort of do that. So luckily, MG does eventually get her to snap out of it, by kind of luring a lark in there, and she kind of opens her eyes and snaps out of it and is immediately sort of terrified to see him there because he's told her, you know, not to do that, which, like, that's every episode. I feel like he's like, stay away from Hope, and then she just does it. And I don't know why she doesn't have an ankle bracelet or something on by now, because she's never going to listen
she's
to you.
She's gonna do what she wants to do.
Yeah. But then Alaric and Hope have this huge fight, which was, like, so heartbreaking, but necessary, I think. And I think that they will obviously heal from it eventually. But they throw a lot of punches at each other. Hope kind of confronts him about the bottles under his desk and drinking. And he kind of brushes it off and says that he's mourning and she should try it sometime. Do you think that's going to be something that comes into play again? Do you think he is an alcoholic, or do you think it is just sort of he's... mourning.
I think it's both. He's mourning, and then he's dealing with a lot. I think every day it's something, you know, it's a new challenge with the knife, since the knife has been brought in the picture. So it's stressful. So I feel like he's just turning to alcohol, but I feel like he's also mourning a lot more because, you know, Joe came back and then all these things happened and probably resurfaced old feelings, how he felt, and now he's back in a grieving stage. Because it's like, imagine someone you love that passed away coming back out of nowhere and then you have to say goodbye to them again. Huh. So he's really probably grieving, but also dealing with everything else that's coming along with this knife. And yeah, I mean, maybe he needs to talk to someone about it, but
he definitely needs to talk to someone about it.
But what he was saying about Hope, there's a lot of truth to it too. She needs to learn how to grieve and talk about things too. I think maybe they need to talk about it together.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Like, instead of fighting about it, you guys need to sit down and
have a crying session. Yes, talk about it. You
guys need that mutual sort of mourning together. Yeah. But the line that killed me that he said to her was like, of course he's going to torture you with all these ghosts of your past, like your mom and your dad and all these people you killed in between. I was like, oh, that is like a low blow right there. But then she throws it right back and, you know, says, well, don't play disappointed dad because you're not my father. And even though that's true, that just like cuts so deep, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because he has been so good to her and has been like a father to her. And so it's like, oh, yikes. Yikes, yeah. Guys. I don't want this.
I just... Yeah, I mean, he's right. They hit low blows, but he is like a father figure to her. That's, and I feel thing. Like she doesn't want to admit that, which he's not trying to be her father. But, I mean, he's like kind of the closest thing she has to a father, family, anything. So, it's like, they both hit low blows, but some of it was kind of right in a sense. But, I don't know. Hope needs to be a little more, let that guard down just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I think the things that like hurt the most are the things that have some truth to it. Yeah. Though. So it's like they both know how to really hate each other where it hurts.
Yes, yes. So,
oof, that was hard to watch, but good TV, you know? Yeah. And the acting was also really great in that scene, I thought.
Yeah.
So Hope decides, you know what, not dealing with this. I am going to go out and I'm going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to lock you in this room.
Yeah.
Which... all right. And then Alaric calls Dorian for help and he says no, which like we realize why later, but I was like, dude, like this is important right now.
Which was interesting because he was just like, you know, he's like, I'm locked in the room, you know, Hope is locked in the room with the spell and he's just like, not right now. Quick. Yeah, like I was like, okay, well, I mean, I guess it makes sense now that we know why he had the day. That makes sense. Why he had the day off. But still, he was just like, yep, you deal with it. Quick.
Yeah. And before we knew, I was like, excuse me.
I know. I was like, that's kind of harsh. Like, wow. He could have been like, you know, well, give me some time. He's just like, nope.
Quick, deal with figure it out. Bye-bye.
The spell will wear off soon. You'll get over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so while he's sort of, you know, locked in the room and can't get out, we do get this sort of final confrontation for now with Hope and the necromancer. And the necromancer talks about how he has sort of figured out the secret of the knife and kind of what it all means and what he needs to do with it. So essentially, it's sort of like Harry Potter and like Horcruxes is what we were kind of talking about before this. So essentially what they need to do is there's like three keys that it's locking the Malivore in there. And the Malivore is sort of what's preventing all of these creatures from like getting out and like wreaking havoc on all of this stuff. And so he destroys the knife at the end of this episode, and so there's like two locks left, I guess is what we're to assume.
Yeah.
He
said three.
Yeah, which, yikes. Did you expect that that was what that knife was going to mean?
No. No, that threw me for a loop, for sure.
I thought it was cool, though. Like, yeah, it was really cool. In there a little bit.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, that was like a plot twist, I feel, with the knife.
Yeah.
Now we know why so many of these weird creatures are drawn to it.
Because it's like they want their freedom, mm-hmm. I guess. Which is like, oof, that's a turn. And then we also get the information that you kind of touched on earlier, which is that he does control the dead, and he is controlling Cassie, and he kind of summoned the witches from under the ground.
Which is a Bennett witch, which is from The Vampire Diaries and a little bit of the originals, too.
Yeah. I hope we get more, because, I mean, we obviously have the witches at the school and stuff, but I want, like, the dark witches. Yeah. Like, I think that's... like, always kind of a fun thing to sort of explore. And so, yeah, we get that sort of folklore and kind of start to figure out what it all means a little bit. And then we get that last scene that, after everything has calmed down, even though I'm like, how is this calming down? Because now the necromancer is out there.
He's just disappeared.
Yeah, yikes. I feel like we're not going to see the last of him at all. But Hope ends up writing a letter to her dad about how... she didn't understand why people wrote these letters before, but, you know, this day has kind of taught her why, and admits that she messed up. And I think that was really big of her, and I thought that was a really beautiful scene.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if you remember the necromancer. I feel like that's such a tongue twister word for me.
So long.
He mentioned that Klaus won't have peace until he knows that she has peace. Yes. So that's why I think what also, you know, encouraged her to write that letter.
Yes, you know. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I like that line where she's like, I'm glad that you're with me, but I'm looking forward to the day that you're not.
Yeah.
Because she wants both of them to kind of find, yeah, like that peace.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really cool and really beautiful, too. And it wrapped it up nicely without, like, being too perfect. You know what I mean? Because there was no way this was going to end with, like, a sugary, sweet ending for now. Like, it's very bittersweet in ways.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so we also get a little tiny bit of Hope and Raphael just... I feel something brewing there. Oh, yeah. Something's definitely brewing there.
They are going to be together. Mark my word. I feel like they're going to be the ones that ain't going to... I mean, I want him and Josie to end up together because I think they would be really cute. But I think in the end, it's going to be Raphael and Hope. I don't think it's going to be her and Landon for some reason. I don't know. I don't see her and Landon. Maybe a good friendship, but no.
Interesting. Well, that's speaking of Landon, this episode ends on a pretty big cliffhanger where obviously the bracelet that she got him starts lighting up.
I know.
I called it last week, you guys. I was like, it's going to happen. And it did. And then we kind of see, I think, where he is. I think that's where we're supposed to assume. And we see black gloves holding the photo of him and his mom.
Weird.
And the knife going into the black Malivore hole on this computer screen. I don't know what's happening there necessarily.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that in predictions if you want.
Yeah.
Before we move on to our very special segment, do you have anything that you want to talk about or touch on before we go?
I think that's really it. I really loved all the references they did to the Vampire Diaries in the originals for this in this episode. And also someone in the chat, I'm trying to read the chat as we're talking, which is, you know, but Mark I can't even remember where his thing was. He referenced, which I totally forgot about but makes sense, in the Vampire Diaries, Damon and Alaric were drinking buddies. So Alaric used to drink a lot in the Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
I totally forgot all about that. So it kind of explains the drinking little situation
that's
going on now. Because he used to do it a lot in the Vampire Diaries with Damon.
Yeah. I wonder if it's going to become like a problem or just going to be sort of a character trait. Because I think there's a very fine line there.
I think it may just be a character trait because if you notice, he was throwing away the bottles at the end.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, he knows he has like a little situation, a little problem. But I think Hope mentioning that to him is like getting him to see, okay, she's right. I'm grieving, but I mean, I don't have to turn to alcohol when I'm grieving.
Yeah. I think that's really true.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, thank you for that little tidbit, and thank you in the comments for letting us know. Let's move on to our very special segment, Fiercest Moment of the Week.
Yes.
Where's that Beyonce, Anthony? Thank you. Amazing. Do you have one off the top of your head?
I think I'm going to give my fiercest moment to Dorian this week.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh my gosh. Great minds think alike.
Heck yeah.
I think I'm going to do Dorian because I feel like we're getting to know a little bit more about him. And then the scene with him and Caleb in the library, I was like, it was so heartfelt. But it's like, okay. Like, he's like, you know, no, you're not going to be doing this. I feel like he just kind of stood his ground and we got to see a little more of him. Because he's like kind of a main character, but we kind of don't really. He's still a big question mark, I feel.
Yeah.
So I think the whole, even with him hanging up on a lark.
That was
like,
funny.
Yes, you take your me day, you know, take your time. So
self-care, yes. Dorian.
He said one day, he only gets one day out of the whole year. And on his one day, you're not going to call him and be like, you need help. Click. So I'm going with him.
I like that.
Yeah.
I will, just so we have something different, I will say Cassie. Because I liked her getting Raphael to sort of admit, you know, kind of what he did. And I don't think that Raphael ever meant anyone, like, actual harm or, like, ever had bad intentions. But I think it is important for him to kind of take notice and take a survey of himself and sort of be able to face that kind of thing head on before he can, like, grow as a person. And I think that Cassie, you know, whatever, she was in an interesting form this episode. Yeah. But I really sort of enjoyed that aspect of their scenes together. All right, let us move on to some news.
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Got our news anchor music going right now.
So we have another kind of behind the scenes of for this episode with the two producers of the show. So you guys can go ahead and check it out. It's really cool.
It's to find whatever monster did this and kill it.
It wouldn't do you any good.
It's mid-season finale time, and this episode tells us all about this naughty, nasty, raising-the-dead jerk that has entered our world.
It's the perfect way to describe him.
The Necromancer!
The Necromancer.
The Necromancer. The Necromancer. This guy's a piece of work.
Let's see how this feels.
Alark so consumed with rage because this is also the jerk who brought back his dead wife at this point. So Alark would rather just cut him into tiny, tiny pieces, which he tries.
He does try.
Was that really necessary?
He does try. And Alark, unfortunately, probably more unhinged than we've seen him in recent years.
I thought maybe we could talk.
When Alark loses control of the interrogation, Hope steps in and takes matters in her own hands.
You want to take a walk through my subconscious? I'm not sure you're quite tall enough to ride the scary ride.
He's so creepy. He's so much. I'm just like, oh, he is.
It's like he wants
still
to be.
Still talking like that. Huh?
Yeah, it's like he wants to be funny, but also scary, but it's like, I'm confused.
Yeah. Maybe we'll kind of get, I feel like we will see more of him just because, you know.
Oh, this is not the last of him.
No. I think he might become like a big sort of part of the next, at least the like first half of the next of the season.
He just disappeared. Like, it was like kind of like a, it ended kind of like a cliffhanger a little bit with him because he's not gone. He just disappeared. Like, when he snapped, whatever he did, he just ghosted. So
maybe he was the one with the photo at the end.
With the gloves.
Let's just move on to predictions because we're basically already there.
We're basically there.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I mean, I don't know if that would make sense just because, like, why would he even need gloves? But it's a theory that I'm going to throw out.
So my prediction, we're at the mid-season finale, so we'll be back in January. Yes. But I feel like, for one, whoever it is with the gloves, I feel like it's a woman for some reason. I don't know. I don't think it's a man. I don't know why. I just feel like it's a woman. Like, my gut tells me it's a woman. It may be another creature or demon or whatever, but I don't think it's him. And it's very odd and weird that they had that picture of, you know, Landon and his mom. And I forgot, I didn't write the mom's name down, but it said the mom's name. So I think my prediction is they're going to try to go and figure out what's going on with Landon. And I feel like he's held captive. And it has a lot to do with the knife. Or not even the knife, because we saw that, even though the knife was dropped into that weird black puddle or whatever that was, he's a key to it all, in my opinion. That's what I'm trying to get at. I think he's a key to it, and I think that's why whoever has him has him. So I think we're going to find that out, that he's going to be a key to a lot, and why we don't know what he is, because he's definitely supernatural.
See, I'm going to say that maybe it's a trap in a way. Like, they're, like, maybe like, he is in some kind of danger, but I think they're just, whoever, like, rang it is, like, sort of trying to lure them there. And I don't know if it was Landon pushing it or, like, someone trying to get them there. You know what I mean? I think it's, like, someone being a little mischievous. Mm-hmm. Or I think that maybe they're going to try to set Landon up again as, like, the villain. Because, I mean, we already had, you know, Hope not trusting him at the beginning. Yeah. And obviously, like, he gained her trust and things like that. But, like, I feel like that could be broken if someone sort of tried to make that happen, which I think would be interesting. But we'll definitely see what happens there. And then I guess my other prediction is just, I just want the twins back. I just am excited to see what happens to them.
So weird that they weren't on this episode. They'll be back. I feel like they'll be back.
With a vengeance. Premiere.
Yeah, for sure. Because maybe they'll have a story to why they were not in this past episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something. Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I do think that we will get Alaric and Hope mending the relationship.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think they're going to stay mad at each other so long, but maybe it'll, like, change the dynamic a little bit, because it was a pretty big fight.
Yeah, maybe they'll be softer on one another. I feel like they're hard on each other, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited. Well, we will definitely see. So we'll see you guys back in January, about a month away. What was the premiere date? Like the 25th?
January 24th.
24th. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So about a month-ish. Until then, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on all social media, Facebook and Instagram, at madam_Moselle.
Awesome. And you guys can find me on Twitter at alphabet_Anne, and on Instagram at taylor_gates_. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you when we return in the new year in 2019.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.